Now it's officially my favourite time of the month when the lovely Ciara Collins comes in, and today she came in and she brought me a cake. So it's extra special, Ciara. You're welcome.
Thank you very much for having me back again.
We're delighted. Now, we had a massive reaction off your last visit to us.
Oh, really?
We really, really did. Everyone. Everyone was responding to it. So I'm delighted to have you back again today.
Yeah, that's great to hear.
Just goes to show, doesn't it, that people are craving just recipes, just new ideas.
I know, just like basic home cooking recipes. Yeah, definitely. Well, I know I love it anyway. So yeah, definitely. There's loads of people like it.
And it is, and for anyone who missed the first episode, just to give a bit of background on you. You started this on Instagram. You're mum of five yourself.
Yeah.
Home cooking is something that you love doing.
Yeah.
Clearly. So we spotted her on Instagram and we pulled her in.
Yeah,
and I did say to her the last time she was in, I think you should be bringing in the stuff you're going to make. And lo and behold, I was delighted when Sean Healy pointed out that on your stories last night you had a lovely picture of a coffee cake.
I had to make you a coffee cake, Linda, yeah.
I'm delighted. Yeah. Thank you very much. Mossy,
you're very welcome.
Looking for a bit
of it. Yeah, they're all looking for it now.
He's not getting it. Right?
I'll have to make a bigger cake next time.
So tell me, today we are going to do sponge cakes.
Yeah, just, well, basically I think the Victoria sponge cake, I know a lot of people kind of turn their nose up a bit at it, at like a Victoria sponge, and might find it a bit boring, but I think it's kind of overlooked a lot. As we were saying the last time, there's loads of different variations you can do with the sponge cake, and like if you're caught for time as well, it's a lovely cake for our birthdays, isn't it?
It is, and the beauty of a sponge cake is it's the basis of so many recipes.
My favourite now, I do love to like grated lemon zest. If I put that in the sponge, fill it with some whipped cream and lemon curd, and that's just
best. I do it all the time. It is, or even if you can buy, and actually those ready-made buttercream icings are quite good at the moment as well.
They're actually really good. Yeah, and they're like they're nice and sweet, and they're even the like the coffee loaf now I'm looking at. But you could easily turn your Victoria sponge into a coffee cake with some coffee essence as well, and fill it with the buttercream, coffee buttercream as well. You know,
get a few queen cake. Thingies, make some cupcakes, as the kids call them.
The cupcakes, I think
queen cakes, as we call them.
Cupcakes are kind of bigger, and then they've all the big swirls of buttercream rather than the queen cakes. So I don't know, but like, yeah, it's the same sponge.
Queen cakes, bit of jam, bit of fresh cream,
exactly.
And a butterfly at the top of them.
You can't beat it. And that's why I think with the Victoria sponge, like freshly baked Victoria sponge with cream and jam, I think it's very hard to beat, especially if it's a lovely light sponge.
And that's the key.
That's the key. Yes. So the main pointer, I think, is butter. Soft butter. It has to be soft, brought to room temperature.
Does it have to be, because this is a question that people often go, does it have to be margarine? Can it be bog standard butter in your fridge?
I would put it out there now, I'd never use margarine. Now, each to their own. I do use your full, like, proper butter, blocks of butter when I'm baking. I just find it's just real
and
butter.
Would you use the real salted butter, or would you use unsalted? Yeah, does it matter?
There's a lot of people, I do know some bakers, and they swear by using unsalted butter. Now, I do use a normal salted butter, but there would be certain recipes then, say, if they asked you to add salt into it, I'll leave the salt out then, because the salt is in the butter, you know. But I do find it tastes lovely using the salted butter.
And would it be the block of real butter or the spreadable stuff?
It has to be a block of butter. I always have some out. That's like room temperature. We go through butter like I don't know what.
Like my house, I know.
We do.
There's only four of us to seven of ye, and we still go through butter like
you do. So no, but having soft butter. So like the recipe I have for you today is actually an all-in-one method, which I love because it's just quicker again. So everything will go into the mixer or your bowl and you blend it all together, you know, until you have a smooth batter. But if you were doing it the traditional way where you're creaming the butter first with your sugar, you know, I mean, there's just no fun when that butter is cold and hard trying to beat the butter.
Yeah, it needs to be soft, doesn't it?
And then make sure it's nice and creamy looking, you know, nice, light and fluffy before you add your eggs gradually. And another thing is to sieve in your dry ingredients.
And should your eggs be at room temperature?
Yeah, like, okay, so I do cook a lot, or I would bake a lot, so I always have a carton of eggs out on the countertop, but I obviously keep the rest of them in the fridge. So they do say your eggs should be room temperature. So most of the time mine are, but like that now, if I just decided to bake a cake or a sponge and they're in the fridge, I'll use them. you know.
It's not a big deal.
No, no. And they do say room temperature, but I have used like cold. Eggs from the cold. Yeah, yeah, from the cold fridge, and it's been fine. So, you know, my main thing was the butter and sieving your dry ingredients. That helps the keep the
aeration, isn't it? Yeah, and yeah. You do see a lot of, I spotted that a lot of bakers now, particularly the celebrity bakers that you see on TV, they all seem to now sift
yeah,
the stuff
everything in. Yeah.
And I suppose, because I remember my grandmother, when she was baking, and actually what she used to do, she'd rub it in her hands.
Yeah,
you'd often see her pick up
so
thing and she'd rub it.
Down,
same
like,
thing.
It's the same thing.
She's
yeah,
just rubbing
exactly.
it through her hands first.
And I suppose you're getting out any kind of lumps
yes.
out of it as well, yeah. you know. But so even if I'm doing the all-in-one method where it's in the mixer, I'll still sieve in the flour and the baking powder.
And do you find then the mixer, does that not make the cake tough? Because they do say you shouldn't
yeah,
beat
know,
the flour in.
I know, for some reason that's what, it's funny because it just it works. So like it's just when you put it all in together and then you turn it on and whisk it until you've a smooth, well not a whisk now, a paddle attachment if you're using a cake, you know, the freestanding
yes.
mixer. That's what I would use and it just always works. It works like you always have a soft fluffy sponge all the time, I find, because I was yeah. very skeptical the first time because I thought, you know, when you do it traditionally and you're creaming
you
your butter
and
then you're folding
yeah.
your flour and everything, and I thought, I'm just kind of banging this in now, I don't know
yeah.
it's going to work, but it does.
Listen,
so
if it ain't broke,
it
don't fix
exactly.
it.
Exactly, and it's less time again.
Okay, so tell us, so yep. what goes into this sponge cake?
Well, what I will do is I'll leave the recipe with you. It's the easiest thing to put it up, but this one now, so it is your kind of classic Vittoria sponge, which I'll leave the method out and the ingredients for you to put up later, but I added a little bit of a twist, so the packets of, you know, the frozen berries, so mixed frozen
yes.
fruit,
yep.
so you can get them in any supermarket.
They all have them now.
They all have them and they're great. And what I find is what I did was just your jam and your cream as normal, like a sandwich it together. But what I did was then put another couple of blobs of cream on top and just spread it out on top of the cake now. And then a couple of handfuls, so like two or three handfuls of the frozen berries, and then melt either, now in the recipe I used white chocolate, but you can use milk chocolate mm-hmm. or dark chocolate, whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
And then drizzle that over the frozen.
Very fancy.
Listen. And it looks, this is what I love about it, because it looks so impressive.
Yes.
And just very little effort went in here,
this
you know.
Little, this plain old sponge
it's
becomes.
This is it, like. Yeah. So drizzle over your melted chocolate, and by the time you're ready to serve it, the warm chocolate will be after defrosting the fruit, but it still leaves it iced. So it gives a really nice texture. It's just
contrast
something a bit
it,
different.
Yeah.
yeah. And of course, you can go to town with decorations, edible decorations, if
yeah.
you like. You know, and like I said, it looks very impressive then, and it was very little effort.
Put on a little cake stand.
Yeah, exactly. And
take
away,
a picture.
And away you go. But it is, I think anyway, it's yum. It's just kind of
yeah.
a different texture.
I just think you can't beat a nice sponge cake with a cup
but
of tea.
But this is
you
it,
really
and
can't.
The sponge is nice. And what I love about this, it is still nice with a cup of tea, but it's also kind of refreshing. You know, coming into the summer now,
yeah.
and well, hopefully warmer
yeah,
summer.
I'm
hoping we all know we need a
yeah.
good summer. It's lovely. It's a nice
yeah.
recipe to do, I think. But yeah, so and like I said, you can decorate or you could keep it if that's not your thing, then
just
little dusting of icing sugar
yeah.
or sprinkle some caster sugar and
happy days.
Like it's gorgeous. And that's the recipe though I leave for the sponge and stuff.
Brilliant. So what are the main ingredients though that go into it?
So well, the main ingredients anyway obviously is butter, caster sugar, flour, you'd have baking powder.
Does it need to be
eggs.
Self-raising or plain flour?
Self-raising. For this I use self-raising anyway, and you know,
even though you're using baking powder, you use
I'd still put in 2 teaspoons of baking powder. Maybe that's what helps kind of.
I was going to say that's quite
well,
a lot with the self-raising.
Lot that
it?
You
yeah.
you might use in other recipes, but for this one it does work. So yeah, because and your eggs, so that's your main thing. And what I like about this recipe too is the butter. It's like 8 ounces of the soft butter, 8 ounces caster sugar, 8 ounces self-raising. So it's kind of easy to remember too, you know.
It is. That's the key thing with a sponge, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the same thing all
yeah.
the time. I actually saw one. I don't know, was it Rachel Allen? And what she did was she had 3 eggs and she
yep.
weighed the eggs, and whatever
okay.
weight the eggs were, that was her boom, boom, boom.
Oh, really?
Because sometimes you get bigger eggs and smaller.
There's
yeah, a
that is
you
true.
Didn't
Thank
know.
You very
there
much, Linda. I know, I'm very much kind of, yeah, I'll just bang it in, see how it goes, you know.
I'm with you, though, but I love the ounces method. It's
yeah,
like bang,
I know.
Bang, bang,
ounces,
bang,
yeah, yeah, I definitely, I always go, I tend to go for ounces more than grams for some reason. I don't know why. The old-fashioned weighing scales.
It's worked for how many years? Don't
yeah.
don't change
yeah.
it. So it, everything you have there now, so it's all going into one bowl.
It's all going into one bowl. You're mixing it together till it's all well incorporated, all the ingredients. It's a smooth batter, and then you're going to divide it evenly into your tins and bake in your oven. And then obviously you'll wait till it's completely cold before you fill it and decorate and everything.
What temp should you have the oven at?
So I have that at 160. So 160, but it's 160 fan.
Okay, so about that 170, 180.
Exactly, that could
it.
Vary. Yeah, exactly, if you're not having a fan oven. But also, the sponges freeze very well. So, you know, if you were caught for time or for a certain day didn't suit, so if you were making it a weekend for a birthday but you were working, or, you know, I do find they freeze very well. So, but I'd freeze them individually, the sponges, when they come out, when they're gone, you leave to cool completely, and then you put them on, like, you know, a cake board or a bit of cardboard cut out, and double wrap in cling film, and they freeze really well as
well. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Well, because I did it a few times like that, and I was caught and I had to do a cake, you know, for some family occasion.
Yeah.
And so I leave it defrost the night before and then decorate it the next day. And it was perfect, because I'm always skeptical about freezing cakes.
Yeah, do you think they'd dry out?
Yeah, they'd become dry. You know, well, obviously, if it's not in the freezer for months now, I'm talking about, you know,
a few days.
Yeah.
Don't leave it there all. Yeah.
No, don't forget about it. Remember, you put it in there.
Should they push it in for long in the oven? Is it normally about 20 minutes or so, depending on your cake size?
Well, this one now I have in for 25 minutes. I check it after 20, because all ovens are different and you have hot spots in certain ovens, and so the key is just to kind of check on it. Yeah. And then you'll know, because like you'll be able to press your finger in the centre and it'll spring back a little bit, or you can use a knife, whatever.
And if it comes out clean, you're
good to go then.
Yeah, you can nearly hear it anyway.
You get so used to it, if you can still hear stuff going on, it's not ready.
Yes, exactly. It sounds fabulous. And if it looks as good as the coffee cake that I have here, double wrapped in front of me, that Mossy Tatton is mad jealous at the moment.
I couldn't bring the fruit one, because they could be complete. They wouldn't be iced anymore by the time I got here.
Stop it. No, it is brilliant. So I have the recipe here. We will post that up, and we'll get it up on Facebook. We'll get it up on Instagram as well with that. Thank you for coming in again today.
Thanks for having me again.
Delighted to have you in. You're going to be back next month. I want to make this a regular slot, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to bring me in something every time you come.
But if you do,
I won't be against it. Let's put it that way, right? Kira, thanks a million.
Thanks, Linda.
Give a shout out to your Instagram page again.
Oh, you know, you said this to me last time I nearly died. Look, it's Kira's Cooking. But like that, I feel bad, because if I'm not on it all the time, because I'm obviously busy with the kids at home. But when I do bake and cook, I love to share recipes and put them up.
Absolutely.
But if you're looking for somebody that's on it.
And you have a back catalogue of stuff.
Yeah, oh, there's loads to keep you going. There's loads in the stories and stuff. But I might be on it like 24/7. So if somebody's looking for that,
she has all her delicious recipes up there. You don't need to be on it 24/7.
I know.
Have your stuff up there. So Kira's Cooking. Head over to Instagram to have a look and a like of the page. Kira Collins, as always. Thanks a million for coming in today.
Thanks, Linda.